is the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, home to the growing business community of trade finance stakeholders and institutions, making this asset class investable. I'm Andy Duckworth, and this podcast, we're featuring a new member of the TFDI, Flow 48. Briefly, Flow 48 is a fintech in the Gulf region and South Africa. It offers SME financing, enabling growth by transforming future revenues into upfront capital through both invoice-based financing and revenue-based financing. Idris Al-Rafai is co-founder and CEO of Flow 48 and is going to tell us more. Hi, Idris.
Hello. Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Now, before you tell us more about Flow 48, tell us a little about yourself and your journey to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So I have a bit of a weird background. I believe that life is not linear. So I've got a few chapters. I used to be a professional basketball player, actually, back in the days. It feels like a long time ago. But did that for a couple of years. And then I joined the Special Forces. I was in the equivalent of like the Navy SEALs or the SAS in the UK. So I did that for a couple of years. I've been deployed in quite a few countries. And then I did my MBA. I started, loving startups. I built my first company there. And then I moved to Dubai, worked for BCG for a couple of years, proving everyone I was normal and I could do a normal job a little bit. I feel like I needed that stamp for better or for worse. And then I built what became the second unicorn of the Middle East, a company called Fetcher. It was an e-commerce logistics space. So basically what we're doing was very simple, or seems very simple, is that half the world doesn't have addresses and we're delivering just to based on the GPS locations of the smartphone. Seems quite clear, quite easy. It grew quite a lot. We're present in 6 countries, 5,000 employees. I exited that company and then I moved to the food delivery space with a company called Glovo, like an Uber Eats in a way. And then we exited that company for $2.2 billion, sold it to Delivery Hero. I was in charge of technology, data and strategy, at Glovo. And then I started the Flow 48 now about 2 years ago.
Well, fascinating background. I always love hearing how people got to where they are today. So tell us more about Flow 48. What is it?
So basically what we do is that we're trying to bridge the gap of SME financing in emerging markets, really. We're starting with Dubai and the UAE, but the goal is to go beyond. We already started with South Africa, but again, the market and the need is across multiple regions. So basically, and you know that probably, if you look at SMEs as a percentage of GDP, they tend to represent 40, 50, sometimes 60% of GDP. But bank lending and SMEs as a part of bank lending is extremely small, below 10% for most of it. And with the problem of SME not having the ability to grow is obviously incredibly high, incredibly frustrating for all the SME owners and the entrepreneurs out there that are just trying to get any type of financing for companies that are not ready for equity investing, right? 99% of companies are not VC ready, nor should they. And therefore, if you don't have access to any kind of trade facility, you're just stuck. And we believe that this is not only unfair, we have access to a lot of facilities in the West, but none of them in emerging markets. But we also believe that this is a great opportunity for us to contribute, to the ecosystem and help job creation and obviously like help entrepreneurs, growing.
Great. And why is Flow 48 different? How do you differentiate yourself in the global trade space and how does it contribute to closing the trade finance gap?
So typically the issues that you have in emerging market is the lack of information, complete and reliable information. That's usually the main problem. That's the main reason why banks have been reluctant to fund SMEs, not because they don't want, because they don't feel comfortable. They don't have the tools to assess them. So it's a mix of at least 2-3 problems. One is being able to have enough data. That's why if you look at the countries we operate in, you need to be at a tipping point from a technology standpoint for us to be able to operate. We're triangulating data from a lot of different sources so that we can actually build our own algorithm and have an assessment of that company through our risk engine, right? So that's one. obviously. And then two is definitely having access to capital. We managed to raise some debt financing that we deployed to SMEs after that. So what we're doing is quite different in a way that we assess SMEs in a very different ways than banks do. We do that fast, and we do that, you know, across all sector. We're industry agnostic, sector agnostic, as long as the company meets the financial criteria that we need for us to be able to deploy capital. So we're quite innovative on the way we assess SMEs.
And tell us more about your target clients. Is it always about SMEs in the Middle East?
Yes, yeah, only about SMEs. Typically, companies that do anywhere between $2 and $20 million revenues. We believe that this is yearly revenues. This is where we believe the gap is the most massive. And we tend to frown upon going like lower than this because usually they don't have the structure, you know, for that we need for us to be able to assess them. So yeah, anywhere between $2 and $20-$25 million yearly revenues across industry is the target.
And what type of corporates are you interested in? Any particular geographies and industries?
Yeah. So industries, no. Industry agnostic. Geographies, yes. We're only present in two countries, UAE and South Africa for now.
This is the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast featuring Idris Al-Rafai from Flow 48. And Idris, talking a little bit more about geographies, why do you think there's a growing number of non-bank lenders such as Flow 48 in the UAE? Are regional and local banks de-risking?
I think in a way, yes. I think it's a mix of two things. I think the economies of the UAE, South Africa a bit less, but the economies of UAE has been built on building champions, right? If you look at, you know, like Emirates, Dubai Aluminium, like this champion, because the UAE needed to build global champions for them to have a, you know, clear value proposition. And I think the ecosystem that has been created in the past few years is very different from the one that was there like 40, 50 years ago. And therefore, banks had to go from shifts, you know, by financing, you know, like the big businesses to now financing what actually creates jobs. Right? If you look at all the reports from EDB, Emirates Development Bank, but, you know, even if you go beyond the UAE, you can see that the SMEs are the biggest job creators. So in an environment, UAE, Saudi, even more, where SMEs and their contribution to job creation is becoming even more and more important, you need to be able to support that. And now, you know, banks are a little bit facing a conundrum because they don't have the facilities to do it. They don't have the tools. They don't have the appetite, even at the very grassroots level, to be able to deploy. And therefore, you have a massive gap that is usually taken by fintechs and fintech startups, because we see the need. We see that we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars that needs to be deployed. They need to be efficiently deployed, you know, in this part of the world and in this segment, and just nobody's doing it. So, yes, that's you. I think this is how, this is why, you know, startups are taking the market by storm.
And tell us a little bit more about the kind of instruments you're offering to your clients.
Yeah. So we provide RBF, revenue-based financing, which is basically RBF and invoice-based financing. Okay, so these are the two products that we have. As of now, our goal is to go, obviously, as to add new products so that we can meet the needs of SMEs even better in the future. But right now, this is the two products that we have. We have typical short-term maturity, right, of the loans, anywhere between 3 and 6 months. Typical facilities across around $100,000, just to give you an idea on the type of financing. But we can go as low as 20K and as high as 200K, right? But this is the typical loan.
And what type of liquidity providers are you working with?
So, yeah, we're working with private equity groups that give us, you know, the debt facility and, you know, and under the terms, we have to deploy some of our own equity with the advance rate and so on. But yes, we're working with two providers across two countries.
Can we speak a little bit about your funding for Flow 48? You know, is it banks or asset managers or both?
So we're raising money on the debt and on the equity side, on the debt side. So this is mostly like private equity, and we're actually having discussions now with sovereign wealth funds. So that's one. Two, on the equity side, we have typically like VC investors, fintech VCs, We're super happy with our with the group of investors that we have because they've been backing companies that are RBF leaders in their own regions. So, for example, we have a fund called Speed Invest based in Austria that is backing Billy and Wayflyer, and I'm sure you're familiar with, that are, you know, leaders in US, UK, and now Germany. And we're also backed by Daphne, which is backing the RBF leader in France. It's a French fund. And we have a few others, Endeavor Catalyst, you know, AngelList, and 212 Capital from Turkey. So this is our base of investor.
Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about credit insurance. Are you relying on credit insurance yourselves? And how are you risk scoring transactions?
So we are not working with any kind of insurance right now. We believe that our risk of collection is fairly limited by at least three reasons. One is the fact that we're only financing a small percentage of the target company's revenues. Therefore, we don't take too much risk, right? Which is typically, a mistake that RBF companies do in the West by having overexposure over one of the, you know, certain SMEs or businesses. So that's one. Two is collection. We have a way to collect money and being sure that we're going to get paid. Collection can be a big problem. Therefore, you need to have a system that is not only automatic, but too scalable. And I think we managed to crack that through our tech and our partners. And then three is just the risk engine in and of itself. I think if you manage to have data sources that come from multiple places that assess different behaviors of the SMEs, you're gonna be able to have a good understanding of the SMEs that other companies, other financial institutions do not have, because we're triangulating information from very, very, very various sources. So I believe that with the three of them, we've managed to have like a good way to make sure that the risk is limited.
And let's move on to technology as well. What is the role of technology in your investment activities?
It's quite massive, honestly, because as you can see, like we're financing deals that are not too large. Therefore, the aspect of scalability is extremely important. The reason why we call that Flow 48 is that we wanted to be able to give a credit decisions in 48 hours. And now it turns out it's 48 minutes. So we changed the vision a little bit as the tech got deeper. But joke aside, I think the key thing for us is to be able to triangulate data from, again, multiple sources. And therefore, the maturity of the ecosystem is very important for us to have enough data to crunch. But yeah, the technology is massive, both from the integration standpoints, that I just described, two from the risk engine, three from the collection. You need to have payment rails that are very well orchestrated across all the different players, and is a key part of the technology.
And we can't really talk about technology without talking about AI.
Yeah.
How is that affecting your company and your activities?
So I'm always being careful, when talking about AI, because I'm in that field, and I think like it's such a buzzword. And you know, when I'm on the other side, and when I see that people are using AI in their pitch, and then you dig deeper and you realize that it's barely statistics, I just think that there is a bit of a trend that we need to be careful. So obviously, like the pure like AI and is changing a little bit how we assess company, but the level of automation, right? So I would say if there was a pyramid, AI would be the top, and then the level of automations and the technology, the pure technology part of it, the scalability of the product, which is not necessarily AI driven, is 90% of the work, okay? So AI will give you that extra edge, but 90% of them is just like regular tech disrupting the market rather than AI.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, finally, you're one of the newest members of the TFDI. Welcome to the community.
Thank you.
What are you hoping to get out of being a member?
I think your community is quite large across, you know, mature markets and emerging markets. I think the caliber of people you have is amazing. From the little time I've been in the ecosystem, I've had like some great interactions. So, and I'm learning, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just an entrepreneur, and You know, like, so entrepreneurs are learning every day and proven wrong every day and proven right sometimes. But especially in fintech, you know, I'm building my knowledge and I feel like I'm not all the time the most, the smartest guy around the table. So I'm learning a lot and I love it.
Well, really good speaking to you today. Idris Al-Rafai at Flow 48, thank you for speaking to the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, and we wish you all the best for the future.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
Thank you for listening today. Please subscribe to stay in the loop for all of our videos and podcasts. Follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter, and that's probably the best places to keep in touch with everything we do. And go to tradefinancedistribution.com for everything else you need to know.